Grain Producers Australia Chairman Andrew Wiedemann says the paddock in question was hit hard in mid-May, with high numbers of Russian aphids and a severely damaged crop described as almost dead. However, an industry delegation that he was part of, along with relevant scientists, visited the paddock 21 days after it was sprayed with insecticide and found the crop had grown back quickly and the aphid appeared to have been wiped out. Not only that, Mr. Wiedemann says there is now a belief that natural predators could have a strong chance of controlling the aphid, meaning the insecticide may only be needed in particularly serious cases.
There was no insects. The paddock was back and thriving again and providing food to sheep that were actually grazing on it. So clearly to us, certainly a manageable pest and that through talking with the entomologist, we feel that obviously looking at the insect and just a response method from farmers is to ensure that we observe what is in the paddock. And, clearly there are some thresholds to how much aphid damage you would see before you'd even consider potentially spraying.
The chemical that is best used is chlorpyrifos, as far as we know at this stage. Now, extending on from what you were just saying, that's a product that farmers will be quite familiar with how to use it, but not one that you want to overuse, is it?
Chlorpyrifos is an insecticide that farmers are really readily informed around, and they're certainly able to use it on this particular pest as they use it on other species. One of the things with that particular rate of insecticide that was used at that paddock and has been subsequently a part of the original emergency permit is under fairly severe review at the moment, because the initial rate that was set was to look at completely wiping the pest out and knowing that if it was the only spot that the pest was found, that we would actually get a complete 100% control. The issue around the insecticide use of chlorpyrifos is one where most farmers and advisors that I know are quite aware of preserving the natural predators to aphids, and in this case, preserving the naturals would seem to us as the first recourse for growers instead of using spray, unless they were seeing damage in excess of at least 20% on plants.
Yeah, because another point that's been made at this early stage is that farmers may be assisted by natural predators to an extent which we've yet to figure out.
That's exactly right, David. I mean, the work that we've got being undertaken at the moment in terms of research around the particular pest, now that we've actually got localities where they can be found, is observing the reaction from predators, and it may actually be one of the reasons we haven't seen this pest observed last year or the year before if it was here, because the predators may have naturally controlled them. So that's something that we're observing at the moment through the research work that's being undertaken in South Australia.
Just to finish up then, no panic stations.
Absolutely no panic stations. I think the fear of the unknown is certainly something that we've observed from people on the outbreak of this, and certainly in our own minds, we wanted to be assured that we could control it as well before we started putting out information and ensuring that people knew what was going on. And clearly this is a case of keeping the powder dry until later in the season, when we know that aphids generally tend to proliferate quite quickly in warmer temperatures, and that protecting those top three leaves is crucial, which usually occurs around the same time that most growers will be looking at applying fungicide late in season in their crops. So I don't believe, unless growers have got a massive outbreak on their farm, that they'll need to be controlling it at the moment. Let the natural predators do their job, and we'll observe what occurs later in the spring and be better informed and in place to manage the situation.